Good morning. We're later than we never have enough time. Okay, so we will start. Last week we started a little bit. I read the pasuk and I forgot to make the copy. I almost forgot today, oyvei, but we remembered. So we are moving on, as we said, from the Machashefa that we moved on to. The Machashefa we finished. Well, we never finished, but we put it behind us. Now we're moving on to very beautiful, beautiful mitzvahs and parshas mishpatim that are repeated, and they are said in many different places in the Chumash, especially this one. Specifically, the first one, I wrote the word v'ger because it's on the page before, but we're talking about how we treat a ger. So let's see quickly. I know we read, but I just want to very quickly review, and then we'll see some of the Rashis that we didn't do last week. V'ger loy soine, you shall not abuse. V'loy silchat senu, and you shall not oppress. And we said there's a difference. Rashi told us last time, either with words or financially, with money. And why? And the pasuk over here, as we said last time, gives us a reason. Ki geirim hiyisem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you yourself were geirim in the land of Mitzrayim. Then, I just want to read one more pasuk. Let's see. We did the Rashi on this one. We said, Rashi asked, why does it have to give us a reason? I mean, obviously, you're not supposed to abuse a stranger, not supposed to oppress, not supposed to treat somebody badly. So Rashi told us the famous line that we're going to develop a little bit more today. Mum shebcha al toimer l'chavercha. Do not accuse your friend of a flaw that you yourself have. And we'll understand in a minute why that's such a big thing, but that's why you might tend to, yes, abuse him, maybe, that's what we might think, and therefore the Torah has to give us an extra precaution and say, do not abuse him. Remember we said that last time, and we're going to develop that a little bit more. I want to just read a few more psukim, because although it's a different mitzvah, it's of the same, similar topic. So let's see, kol almana v'yasayim loy sa'anun. It's interesting, different language is being used here, because the first word we said, loy soineh, right? Again, like abuse or oppress. And this is a similar word, loy sa'anun, but this is also slightly different. So it says, every widow, every orphan, you should not persecute. And we'll understand what that means in a minute, exactly what it involves. And what happens if you do? Im ane sa'ana oisai, if you will persecute him, what will happen is he will cry out to me, Shamaya Eshma Tzakasai, and I will surely hear his cry. And what will be the direct result? And this is very strong language that's not usual. As we know, if you turn over, it's in the back of your page. V'chara api, and I will be angry, right? My anger will burn. V'harakti eschem, and I will kill you b'cherev, by the sword. V'hoyu nesheichem almanais, and your wives will be widows. U'bneichem yisaimim, and your children will be orphans. Here we have a classic mida keneged mida in the Torah, which is not usual to find it so obviously written this way. So literally, measure for measure, you're going to suffer exactly the circumstance that you've put somebody else into, and then they will suffer because other people won't be treating them well either, right? As we can understand, that's the flow-on effect. I wonder, before we go more into depth, let's first see what Rashi tells us. So I shall go back to the first page, because Rashi on 21, we didn't read these Rashis inside, we read the Ger last time, but Kol Almana V'yasim Lois Sa'anun. So he says, really, this is very interesting, all of these halachas, because the truth is, Hu Hadin L'chol Adam. This applies to every person. You can't persecute anybody, right? Ela Shadibur HaKasav Bahaive, but why do we make a, so to speak, highlight the widow and the orphan? So Rashi says, because that is something which is common, the word prevalent, it's common. Why is it common to persecute a widow or an orphan? Lefishahim tshushay kayach, because they are weak. And therefore, it's a common thing. In other words, they're vulnerable. Vulnerable makes them more easy to persecute, and that will happen, unfortunately, more often. Okay, that's a simple way that Rashi says it, because the truth is that there is very interesting discussion in the Gemara about this. Is there an extra? When you persecute, so to speak, or do anything that we'll see soon, some of the things that fall into that category, a widow or an orphan, are you transgressing an extra and love, like a thing that you're not allowed, or is it in the category and just highlighting them? You see, so it's an interesting discussion. So according to some opinions, there, if you persecute a widow or an orphan, what you're doing is you're doing a few averes, because you shouldn't be persecuting anybody, any other person, any other Jew. And then we come to, and this is an extra one, because they're a widow or an orphan. So that's different ways of looking at it. whichever way, we're definitely highlighting them, as Rashi says. Rashi takes a simple approach because it's more common. And that's why we have to highlight it. So I guess to give an extra precaution for us not to fall into that trap. Let's see Rashi 22. Im anois anois, if you will persecute him, hareze mikmakotzer. This is an abbreviated verse. What does it mean, an abbreviated verse? So he says a very interesting thing. This is a very strong language also. Gizem v'loy perish anshay. It threatens, but it doesn't explicitly state the punishment. Okay, it's like, and he gives an example, Rashi gives an example somewhere else in Chumash where we have the same thing, because it says, k'may kol hoire kayin, anyone who kills kayin, right? And then it doesn't say what the punishment is if somebody kills kayin. So he says also, afkan im ana ta'ana isai, loshen gizum, it's a threatening expression, k'loymer, your end will be what is due to you, what you're supposed to get. As he says, why? Because they will cry out to me. So that's why, that's what will unfold. So in a way, it's an abbreviated, so to speak, version where it makes a little bit of a break and only then does it get to, but as you can see, it's a very threatening language. That's meant to be. It's quite a scary, when you read the pasuk, it does make you feel quite afraid. It's a very scary kind of a talk, and that's deliberately done. Taka deliberate. Let's see, like I said, we're going to go into other mefarshim. I just want to see the Rashis. What does Rashi tell us on Chaf Gimel? I think we mentioned it last week. Good morning. Here we are. So Rashi says something very interesting about the woman. Your wives will become widows and the children will be orphans. So what does that mean? So he says, a very interesting question first, Rashi says. If it says, I will kill you, right? You will die. And then it says, your wives will be widows, right? So it says, it's extra words in the pasuk. It's obvious. If you're dead, then your wife is a widow and your children are orphans. Why does the pasuk say it so explicitly and so much extra? I mean, it's harsh.
His personal experience, it would be.
It is.
It's always, you know it only when you feel fear.
You're right, Daisy. It's very emotional. You're 100% right. But let's see, as Rashi says, it's very strong and there's a reason for it. What is it emphasizing? Because it's even more than just a normal almana. So let's see what he says. Ella harezu klola acheres. There's an extra curse that's happening here. What is that? Sheyihyu hanoshim tsrurois ka'almanois, and in parentheses they put the word chayis. There's a concept of a living widow, so to speak. What does that mean? Is that the wives will be constrained like widowhood, which means shelo yihyu eidim lemisas balei, and there will be no witnesses for the death of the husband, and therefore they'll be forbidden to remarry, and therefore, not only will the wives remain living widows, never able to remarry, but the children will remain orphans in a very interesting way. The Beis Din will not allow them to go and touch the father's the money, because maybe he's still alive. Who says that you can access all of his belongings? This is a very, very harsh way of putting it, and it's an interesting thing. It's not inevitable. In other words, it didn't have to happen this way. As Rashi says, it's an extra curse, because this is such a terrible thing that you are doing. What's so terrible? Well, as I say, we'll see more in the other Mefarshim, but you are attacking somebody vulnerable. And that's something we have to realize. This is not just coming from an inner frustration, a normal frustration that a person has, and therefore sometimes they might lash out at somebody. This comes from a different position. This comes a little bit from an intellectual, rational thought process. Because why do you allow yourself to lash out? Because the other person is vulnerable. Whereas with a normal person, you might control yourself more. And that's a very big problem. And that's why we know that you can control yourself, because you do in other circumstances. You wouldn't lash out if the person was whatever, so-and-so, right? You wouldn't. You would. And here you do. So that's why the Torah tells us, Hashem knows, as we know, Hashem knows the hearts and knows the process by which we go through. And therefore, in this case, you get extra extra trouble, so to speak, extra curse. Just to quickly finish, as we see in the Rashi, Lefisha in Yoidim im Mesu im Nishbu, right? You don't know if the father was dead or if he maybe was just captured and he's still alive somewhere, okay? So you can't touch his belongings. Let's see, I'll show you something. You have a few other sheets in front of you. Let me see which one to do first, second, third, or fourth here, but let's see. I think maybe we'll do the one that has the Mefarshim first. You see, there is a sheet there that on its own, this one that has the Mefarshim. Let's just look quickly to see a little bit just inside of the Mefarshim. I'm sorry, I should have numbered, but we'll just start from the top. And the first one is an Evin Ezra, all the way on the top. It says Viger. It's three sheets. Yeah, there's definitely more copies. You have? Beautiful. Okay, so let's see what the Evin Ezra says. Evin Ezra says, Viger, ka'asher yikabel hager, shaloi lavay davay dezara, loi sainuhu ba'artzecha. So very interesting thing. The ger, who is this ger? He's taken a big journey. He's made a very big transition in his life. And he has decided, he's accepted upon himself that he is not going to serve idols anymore, right? So therefore, you shouldn't oppress him in your land. Ba'avur, shigeish lecha koyach rav mimenu. What might motivate you? Because you have a greater strength than he does, in the sense where you have connections, you have permanence, you feel secure. He's new and he's insecure. You have to be extremely careful how you treat him. And then it goes on, V'zachar ki geirim hayisem kamayu, you were in the same boat as him. You were also geirim, just like he. Ukasher hiskir hager. She'ein loy kayach, and since the pasuk mentions the ger who has no strength, kacha yosaim v'halmana. That's the continuation why the pasukim flow from this mitzvah to the next mitzvah, because it's the same vulnerability felt by an orphan, felt by an almana, she'em yisraelim, even if they are Jewish from generations past. So they still feel more vulnerable, and you still have to be extra careful. Ve'ein lahem koyach, they don't have strength. Ve'achar she'amar lo sa'anun loshen rabim, omar im sa'ane. Now, there's a very interesting thing if you see in the psukim. You know, it's supposed to be, like Leah would say, you go plural or you go singular. You don't switch, right, in a sentence. It wouldn't be, it's not the grammatically correct. If you look into the two psukim, you can see it's very interesting. Which pasuk was it? I'll show you. It's the pasuk. It says, let me see, Loisa'anun. Do you see? Alman of Yosem Loisa'anun. And then it says, im ane sa'ana oisai. Okay, so how does it work? Why plural and then singular? Very interesting thing that the Evin Ezra says. And this makes it even stronger and a little bit more scary for us, because he says, because we would think, well, we don't do that, and we're careful. Let's see what the Evin Ezra says. He says, ki kol roya adam shehu ma'ane yosem v'almana v'loya azreim. Anybody who's just a bystander and sees somebody else who is oppressing or doing something wrong to the widow, and remember we said financially, this is not just with words, sometimes with words, but it could also be financial, taking disadvantage, you know, advantage of a person who's disadvantaged and doesn't have that strength. So if you stand by silently and you don't help them, gamhuch yechshav ma'ane, he is also considered as if he is oppressing. That's the plural. You become part of the avera, even if it's only one person doing it. The people around are also just as responsible. And that's a very strong language. So that we can see here from this. I mean, obviously, we always say we're responsible, but here we have an extra measure of responsibility. And it seems, as you can see from the Evin Ezra, what this means is that with what it shows us is actually extends the mitzvah, that if you have somebody who is a yosem or an almana, what we have to do is be more aware of their situation. Not just like any normal person say, okay, I mind my business, you mind your business. No. Even though in Torah we have a thing of privacy, but that only works with what we share. But other people's plight, there's no such thing as privacy. If somebody's in trouble, they're in trouble, and we have to help them. Now, when it comes to a ger, or it comes to a yosem, or it comes to an almana, somebody who is extra vulnerable, we have to be extra careful to become aware. Otherwise, we can be held responsible. So that's a very important thing as well.
Does it also apply to someone who's divorced?
interesting. People ask, it doesn't mention it here, but what we can say is, it wouldn't be a bit like a midai raisa, but what we could say is as an extension, because it talks about vulnerability. So that's why it would apply to somebody. It could apply even as we can see the next word. On her own, exactly, exactly. So she's vulnerable. So it would apply in the sense of the spirit of the halacha, that you'd have to be careful. But it doesn't mean you're over necessarily a lot. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be. Yeah, it's very, for sure. And we'll see in the Sefer HaChinuch what it's supposed to inculcate. So for sure it should apply to every case. Okay, let's see quickly over here a little more on this page. So I've bracketed the Sfarnu. Something very fascinating, and this is also interesting how it extends. So the Sfarnu is the next bracket. You see it says, Loi sa nun im sa... Sorry. Im ane sa na oise. Because as he says. Sorry. Okay, so im kishetana, I should have made it bigger, of course I didn't, and there's even place. Okay, im kishetana es hayosim tiye kavanoscha la noisoi bilvat. He qualifies, and he says, remember we said the oppression was also with words, right? So in other words, that comes into telling him off, right? Which might cause embarrassment. If he's doing something wrong, you have to be extra careful how you tell them off. That's a part of it. So if you are telling off this orphan in a way, so to speak, which is just oppressing him, in other words, because you could, because he's an orphan and you know nobody's going to come scream at you after and say, how dare you, why did you say that? That's a problem. But the Sfarnu says, aval imtaneyu liyasra yu lehetiv lai. But if your purpose is because you see, and especially an orphan, it's very interesting, that he's going in the wrong way, and he's doing things that will actually cause him damage at the end. And you have in mind, all you want is for his good, to get him on the right path, then the Sfarnu uses a very strong language. He says, not only can't we call this oppression, or causing this person, if you want to say, how do you say, any kind of harm, or any kind of distress, rather, he says, "Ein ze ella gemilus chasodim." This is an extra kindness. So this would apply, and it says another verse to teachers. Specifically, it highlights teachers that if a person is teaching, I think even the Rambam says, if you teach an orphan, it's a very interesting thing. Don't realize you have a classroom with a lot of children, but there are different halachas. You have to be extra careful when you have an orphan in your classroom, how you discipline them. And actually, the Rambam specifically says that falls under this category, which would mean that we would have to be extra careful in, for example, I mean, even silly when they're younger, like how we scream at them in the playground, you do have to be more careful. However, taking in mind as well, you can't go to the other extreme and not discipline them at all, which would be to their detriment. But you'd have to do it more gently.
So orphan is if you've got one
parent. Even one parent. You don't have to lose both. Even one loss, yeah. 100%. Yeah, that's until you're considered an orphan already, yeah. Yeah. It's a very interesting thing because this is it's actually a halacha, like, so it's something that we have to be a little bit quite aware. So you can discipline, but more gently and much more aware of what you're doing, so to speak, than to any other normal child, any other person in a normal circumstance, so to speak. Quite an interesting thing, I must say. It's amazing how it really does apply. Okay, let's see the Ramban. Now the Ramban takes a little bit deeper where I bracketed, you see on the bottom. Because it talks about the ger, because you were gerim, right? What does it have to do? You don't mistreat anybody, even if you weren't ever mistreated. What's this? You know, it doesn't say by a widow. I mean, some people don't experience a yosim, but nevertheless, why is it that with the gerim it highlights because you were gerim in Mitzrayim? So Ramban says something beautiful. He says, "V'hanochein be'enai, what's correct in my eyes, ki yomer loisaynu ger v'loisalachtenu silchatenu." Sorry. What you will think is, he has nobody to save him from your hands. He has nobody to stand up to you. You know, you yourselves were gerim in the land of Mitzrayim. And I saw, Hashem says, I saw the oppression that the Mitzrayim oppressed you. And I took revenge on them. When you were in Mitzrayim, you were extremely vulnerable. You were a nation who nobody cared about in a land that wasn't yours, right? You were strangers, and they were oppressing you. And it's true, nobody else cared. Nobody else cares. But Hashem says, I noticed. And I was the one who noticed, and therefore what happens? I actually oppressed the Mitzrayim afterwards. Well, let's see what he says. And I took revenge. Ki ani roya dimas ha'asukim. I don't know if you say with a sin or a shin. It's a shin, right? Okay, thank you, Leah. I was wondering before. I always see the word, and I'm never 100% sure. Okay, so because it's very beautiful language that the Ramban uses. Because I see the tears of the ones who are oppressed, the ones who are being hurt. Asher ein lahem menachem, who have nobody to comfort them. Umiyad oishkehem koyach. And in the hands of their oppressors is the strength. So I see those people and I see their tears. That's what Hashem says. V'ani matzil kol adam miyad chazak mimenu. And I save every person from the one who appears, so to speak, stronger than him. V'chein halmana v'hayosam. So the same thing he says applies with the widow, with the orphan. Lai sa'anu ki eshma tza'akasam. Be careful, don't oppress them, because I will hear their cries. Sheb kol eile einam baitchim benafsham. Here he describes it very, very beautifully. These people do not have a sense of security in and of themselves. They're not confident. They don't rely on themselves. And why is that? They're vulnerable, as we know. And therefore he says, v'alai yiftchu. It's actually a very beautiful thing. Who do they trust? In Hashem more. It's interesting. So therefore, it's a very fascinating, this is a very little bit of a slightly different twist. What we're saying is not so much that they're nebach, more that they're closer to Hashem. And because they're closer to Hashem, when they cry, Hashem hears them immediately. It's quite a powerful thing. In a sense, that will change our way of looking at them. Which means we are not having Rachmanis because we're such great people that we have to have Rachmanis on these vulnerable people. Rather, we have to be even more scared because they don't have just a human being that's going to come and scream at us. They have Hashem. So that can change the way we look at them. They're even stronger than the regular person. It's a whole different shift. It's quite a magnificent way of looking at, as the Ramban, the whole Torah has. It's a whole different shift of all the perspective. So therefore, they rely on me. And the other pasuk adds another reason. Not only is it that they'll cry out and I'll hear them, they rely on me and they're close to me, but also you know what he's going through. Ki geirim ha'yisem beretz Mitzrayim. You have the same experience, which means, as the Ramban says, yedatem ki kol ger nafshay shveila olav. Every ger, his soul is depressed. He's low. V'hu ne'enach v'tzayek. He cries. He sighs. V'ein of tamid el Hashem. And his eyes are always to Hashem. V'yirachem olav. And Hashem has mercy and compassion on him. Kasher rachem aleichem. As he did on you when you were in Mitzrayim. K'may shekasuv, v'yanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avayda, right? That we cried out to Hashem from our hard work. V'yitzaku, we sighed, and then we cried. V'tal shavasam, and our cries went up. El ha'leikim min ha'avayda, from our hard work. Klaymer loy b'schuschem, rak sherachem aleihem min ha'avayda. This is a very beautiful thing. It doesn't matter if this widow, if this orphan, if this ger does things wrong. And then you say, oh, they don't deserve. Doesn't matter. It's not a matter of what they deserve, so to speak. It's not a matter of their merits. Nothing to do with that. They're closer to Hashem. They rely on him, and they're going to scream, and they're going to cry, and Hashem will see their tears and hear their cries. And that's why we have to be extra careful how we treat them. It's quite a powerful Ramban, very beautifully written. Okay, there's a very interesting, I'm going to see, because Monkey brought something very beautiful. Very interesting. I'm sorry, I just need to get a tissue. The Maharal says something beautiful. You know, we talk about vulnerability, and the pasuk seems to make it sound almost like when we are vulnerable, when we have gone through something, that we will be extra sensitive to somebody else. That's what you would naturally think. But if you notice, it's not that way. It's unfortunately not that way. That's why, I mean, it goes on many, many things. You know, say people are abused, like all, unfortunate. The Maharal is a fascinating thing. He says, I'll just read you in the English how they quote, they say, the Maharal asks how a past of bondage and exile can motivate someone to have
a kind and generous attitude towards a stranger, because he says, on the contrary, people who have suffered hatred and hostility often tend to treat others in the same way as soon as they are given power over them. And that's a very interesting thing. And that's why what we have to read into this pasuk is that when Hashem says you should treat the ger right because you were gerim, just look at the whole experience. What does that mean? It means you cried out to me, I heard you, they will cry out, I will hear them. It's a whole process that we have to work on. So we have to work on our midas, otherwise, naturally, we will not be extra sensitive. And this is it's a very important thing for us to realize in life. A lot of times, very interesting thing, you think you've been through something so I can understand what the other person's going through, but that's, to a certain extent, it's true. It is true to a certain extent, but it can go both ways. And not only that, what we have to be careful, and this happens sometimes, is that a person becomes, instead of more compassionate, they become harsher. Because what they say, and I once heard, I couldn't believe a person said, she didn't mean bad, but she said something like, so what? This is what everybody goes through. It was like more of a callousness, and that's scary. That's a very scary thing that can happen. And that's why the Torah tells us, this is such an important thing about, it's about the other person, but it's also about ourselves, that we have to remain, so to speak, soft people, compassionate people, despite or because of our experiences. And that's a very important thing. So that's how we... So it's a very good question. So the halacha says like this, and when does an orphan stop being an orphan, so to speak? When does, at what stage? You're an orphan.
That's what I'm trying to ask.
You're right.
So it says
an interesting thing. It says until they're relying on the parent for their, mainly it would be financial and emotional support that they need to live by. That's what it says. So as soon as a person becomes self, it's able to stand on their own two feet, that's already a different category. Yeah, it's very interesting. So yeah, it's not that way. Although, saying that, that's the halacha. But again, we know, if somebody became an orphan when they're very young, I must say, you can see that even when they're older, there is a certain vulnerability that we have to be a little bit more sensitive to certain things. That's how it works. But halachically, it has to do with that. That's when it actually asks. So that's a good question. Okay.
In other words,
Yeah, they could. That's a problem. Yes, but that's a big, exactly. And that's the very, very big problem. And that's why we say, so if somebody does that to somebody in these categories, they would be held accountable not only for the normal mistreatment, but for this extra mistreatment, so to speak. Yeah, that's
so
what happens.
Even if they were in a bad mood or something, they would never speak to their superiors in their entire life.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, we do. Okay. So I just wanted, let's just look at these sheets now. The other one, I think it has, you have also a double. It has a on one side. Number one, it says on it. Yeah, it has a number, so we can see which side to start. So now we're coming back. So we're coming back all the way to the beginning of the ger when Rashi said, Mum shebcha al teimer l'chavercha. When you have a blemish, do not talk about it or point it out in your friend. And that's why it mentions that we were gerim. What's the idea we said? Well, there are many ideas, but as we just discussed now, but also that sometimes what tends to happen is that when do we see a blemish in our friend? When we have it. Okay, so very quickly, I know this is a famous idea, but it's so beautiful and it's so practical. And I don't know, for me, always need a repetition. So I'll just do it quickly, but read inside. And if it's either too quick or too slow, you can tell me. Okay, so let's see. We'll start. Let's see on the top of one. B'shaychus l'masha kosov. So this is obviously not to do with our parsha, but it's the same idea. It's connected to a concept in parshas Noyach. And what does he bring out? The famous thing, min ha-behema ha-tahira, u-min ha-behema ha-sherein ha-tahira. The famous thing that the Torah says, the animals that are pure and the animals that are not pure. And the Chazal say in the Gemara, La'olam al yetzi adam davar meguna mipiv. A person should always be careful that nothing negative, the word is negative, but nothing not nice should come out of his mouth. Well, how do we see that? Sha'arei ikem ha-kosov, the pasuk, it went in a whole roundabout way, shmayna oisiyes, and it added 8 letters, v'lo'i haitzi davar meguna mipiv. How do you see added 8 letters? And the Torah is very exact with with its word. It says from the animals that are pure. And then it says, which are not pure. And really, what should it have said? As Rashi says, Shezeh ha'tam la'riches lashna kosov asher inena tahira, gimel tevas ha'kaleles yud gimel oisvies. Those three words have 13 letters. Instead of b'makam shayachol l'katzer, it could have said it in a much more abridged, shortened version, hatmeya. You don't have to say not pure, you say impure. And impure in Hebrew is hatmeya, which is only five letters. So many extra letters being said. Lamdecha lachzar achar loshen nikia. Rashi has very beautiful language that you should use clean language. Okay, so clean language in this concept, pure, impure, but it extends to how we, not only about, well, it's very interesting because it means everything. The truth is what it means. It's very fascinating if you think about it. It means that if we are careful with just talking cleanly and things that don't matter, so to speak, if you want to say, like, does it really matter if you say something, I don't know, that obnoxious about a table? No. But as we can see, once you start with that kind of a talk, what it ends up leading to is that's how we talk to others and about others. Everything is a slippery slope. It's the way we train our mind and our mouth to work. So let's see how we see the story here. We have in our parsha to be very careful in language, belush, and how we speak. We have another lesson. B'shaychus l'zehiras b'ri'iyah. Not only what we say, but what we see. Okay, we have to be careful in what we look at. And we know the famous story, Shem v'yafes nisharu b'tachlis hazehiras. So Shem and Yafes, they were very careful. And they were very, very careful, as we say, milirois ervas aviyam, from seeing the nakedness of their father. And as we know, what did they do? V'yelchu achreinis, they went backwards. Upneyem achreinis, so the pasuk says their faces were turned. The ervas aviyam loiro, right? They didn't see the disgrace of their father, which is also extra language. Because obviously, if their faces were turned, then they didn't see the disgrace of their father, as you can see. And that's why it says, what happened? And then uschar, they got a special reward, Zahira Zu Madgish Gadaila Verka. It emphasizes and it shows us how great is what they did because they got such a good reward. And what was the reward? Yafta Likim Liyafes, Vishkan Baalei Shame, right? Hashem did beautiful things for Yafes and he was able to dwell in the houses of shame. And of course, we know shame got the best bracha. That's where we come from. We come from shame. And all the beautiful things. So it shows us that this is an extremely valuable thing. Quickly in Bayes. And I feel that it's going to go to the top in a minute. I'll tell you when we go to the top. But the next paragraph, Omnam Besipur. So we have a question. The pasuk tells us that they went with their faces back, right? They were turned around. So it's self-understood that they didn't see anything on their father, any immodesty. Ma Moisif, go to the top of the page. Mitevas, the ervas aviyam loiro. Right? So he says, what does it add when it says that they didn't see this embarrassment of their father? The imkain tsarich loimar, so we must say, shakosov mechadesh bazeh. Inyan umayla miyuchedes. The pasuk must be adding. There's something new we're learning. Bahan hagas shem v'yafes. Something extra in their action, in their behavior. Asher mitevas hakaidemes. That from the earlier words, loy hayinu yoidim, we wouldn't have known this. V'yuvan ze behaktim teiras eshal abal shemtev. The famous thing that the Baal Shem Tov tells us. Shekasher adam roye ra bezulasa. When we see something negative in our friend. Harezu haychacha shedugmas oisai hara nimta bai ba'atzmai. This is a very strong language. But the Baal Shem Tov says, and we know we've heard this before, but we don't, sometimes we, it would be good if we remembered it all the time, that when we see something negative in our friends, he says it's a proof that this that we're seeing is something that we have within ourselves. And that's why we see it in the other. Ukumay Adam, and he gives a very clear example, Hamabit Biri, like a person looking in a mirror. And we know, in Pond of Nikim, if your face is clean, Einayraya Bimara, Shum Daifi, you don't see anything dirty in the mirror. Avalim Huraya Lichluch, Vikesem Biri. If you see dirt and you see a blemish in the mirror, where is it coming from? It's coming, Einze Elamishum, Sheponov Mitunofim. It's a very, very strong language. Your face is dirty, so you see a dirty face reflecting back to you. But there's a question on this. That's all very nice to say. You think it's, we always think it's not always true, right? Not always. He says, right? Let's see. Let's see, Daisy. Well, chayr, ma'u ahechrich. What? Why do we have to say shereiyas hara bezulasehu befchinas demus, that what we see in our friend is like an image, so to speak, and a reflection that's in us, as we say, shel harasha beharaya, of the bad which is in the one who is seeing. Lama lo titacha metzias kazu. Why is it not possible that there should be such a thing? Shebeemes yeshna hara hanira rak bechaveira. For who acts my mushlo mizeh, that there should be something negative in your friend, and for you, it's totally impossible. You have no connection to that. Why does the Baal Shem Tov say this? Why is this that it has to be? That we see something bad, it's because it's in us. V'habir bazeh. Kol me'ura sheba olam. Everything that happens in the world, hu b'hashkacha pratis, is divine providence. V'kein gam be'me'ura zeh. Even in this circumstance, when he sees something bad in his friend. Ein zeh b'mikre. It's not just happens to be that I noticed something negative in my friend today and that I bumped into this person that did something so bad. It's obvious it was meant to be that way. Ela davar shezminu lo milamayla. Hashem literally put it there, right? He made it happen. Umikevan shalai bara kadosh baruch hu ba'ilama davar echad levatola. Hashem doesn't make anything happen for nothing, right? He says, efshar, and now, sorry, we go back. Do you see it's on that same page? In that first column, under that line, loyma, right? You see, shemit lemay lo yavi ehu lidei reiyas rab mishuhu l'shav. You can't say that it's impossible that Hashem should bring him to see something negative in your friend for nothing. Elashib v'adayesh bazahira, must be a lesson. And what is it? V'hayda, and something has to let us, it's letting us know something. And what is this? V'hi shahara nimtza b'raya atmai v'olav l'saknai. Why is Hashem sending it to you? Because today is the day you got to fix it. That's why you noticed it, or you happened to bump into this person that has this thing wrong with them, and you became aware of it. But we still puzzled a little bit. Why is it for sure that way? Maybe I'm just meeting him because I have to fix it, right? Then we have a job to fix him, right? Maybe I'm here to enlighten, you know, to show him the right way, to inspire him. Let's see what he says. Now, before that, we even have a different question. Why does Hashem have to work in such twisted ways? Why can't Hashem just like make you wake up that morning feeling inspired that today I'm going to change this? Or you look in your own mirror and you notice this is wrong with me. Why can't he do that? Simpler. So what do we know? Because it's not the way we work. It's not human nature. As he says, that how does he have to be let known through the negative in his friend? Why can't it do it in a direct way? Because the famous line that we know, Al kol psha'im techasa ava, on all of our negatives, our love covers. We cannot see our own faults. It's just human nature. I guess Hashem made that, you know, he made it because otherwise we wouldn't live with ourselves. We wouldn't. It would be quite uncomfortable. So therefore, in order to make us a nice life, and we should be able to sleep at night, we don't really notice our, some we say we notice, but we don't really notice. So let's see how he says. We notice it always in others easier. Okay. It says, Ba'ava, atzmai mikol shekein, right? And your own love. Okay. V'chol hanigoyim adam roya chutz minigei atzmai, right? He says, all the negatives a person sees in other people, but his own blemishes, then he doesn't see. V'lochein haderech l'havi esa adam lidiyas chesreinu shleit. So how does Hashem make you become aware that you have something that you need fixing? So Hashem plans it and he makes it happen that you see it in somebody else. And this opportunity, when he sees in his friend something low and something negative, you know, and something that's lacking, that's what it should do. It should arouse in you that you should contemplate, you should think about your situation. So when a person is honest, okay, makes an honest accounting, and he thinks about his own situation, as he says, truthfully, inside, in the deep, you know, the depths of his soul, then he comes to the recognition that the things that he sees that are lacking in his friends is really his own lacking. Asher kol hanegayim, as we say, sha'adam roya b'chutz, it's rear, it's menigei atzmai. Anytime a person sees the negative outside of himself, it's because it's in himself. Now, we still have the question. Mm-hmm. We can still ask. Tafkid Shalish HaYisraeli, the job of a Jewish person, who lirek lifol zichuch v'aliyah ba'atzmai, it's not just to affect that he should be refined in himself, ela gam lifol b'chaveri, he also has to affect his friend. Uma shenemar haychiach taychiach asamisecha, right? We have a pasuk, and it's actually a mitzvah, that we are meant to admonish, right, to rebuke our friends or all the people that we know, va'afilu me'yapamim, even 100 times. So, which means, this is the mitzvah of, if you see somebody doing something wrong, you should point it out to them, so they should better. So maybe that's why you're noticing it. So let's see, on the top of it says, ve'im kein mi yoymer shakavana bezeh, shemila ma'ila har'ehu eshara, shel zulosai, hu b'chtei sheyira v'yivada, sheyisai hara nimtzebai, v'asher olav levara. How do you know that the reason he's seeing it is in order that you should realize it's in you and you have to fix it up? Maybe Hare Yitachim Laimar Kapshutai. You could just say simply, Shakavana Be'emesi L'Haraisiyas Hara Shal Chaveiroi. Maybe I'll just see the negative in my friend. Bechtei Shehu Haraya, that the one who's seeing, Yechichai V'yazirloi L'sakeinu L'heitiv Daka. Maybe just to help him fix his ways. Why can't we just say it simply? Keep things simple. So he says, Yiseirim Yizukum Medubar Kamba Pamim. B'nei Yisrael Einam. This is a very interesting question. Einam Befchinas Emtzoi. This is a fascinating thing in a philosophical thing. That Jewish people, we say, when Hashem creates us, you know, Hashem has this Hashkacha Pratis, right? A Jew is not a means to something else. Everything that happens to us, we are, how do you say it, an end unto ourselves, so to speak. In other words, what we mean by that is that we, everything, our interaction with the world and Hashem's interaction with us, everything is exact and definite and it's meant for us. It doesn't mean it's not also meant for others, but we are not just used as a tool to help somebody else. We are used also as a tool, right? But not only. So we are not just a means. We're never just an intermediary. That's not what we are. So here he says an interesting thing. So if that's the case, as we say, Sha'al Yodam Tushlam Hakavana El Yayna bin Inachar, that through us should fulfill the intention in another matter. In other words, that we can't say that the ultimate purpose is in something that is external from us. Let's see, we can skip the parentheses, because we know that, so to speak, it's b'shvil Yisrael, right? It's for us. We are the purpose in and of itself, in and of ourselves. This is regarding generally the Jewish people. Right? The frat. Every specific Jew. We can't say that we are just there as an intermediary for our friend. Hashem is showing us so that we should see something negative. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make sense. It's in each and every one of us individually. So let's understand what's happening. Go to page 2. Move on mizeh. So we understand. The truth is that I've copied. It's a little bit missing because we couldn't do the whole thing. We wouldn't have time. But here we're going to get to the point. So just to finish this, and then we get to the point of the answer. Asher e'efshar gam loymer shezesh shemar milu ma'ilas hachesreinu shel acher. Harei rak l'tayvas hasheni. It's impossible to say that I see something negative in my friend and it's only for my benefit. In other words, we're using the friend as the middleman here. Do you realize? He's becoming the middleman to show me something. That's impossible. Can't be. Because everybody is a purpose, so to speak, in themselves. Must be there's something that's for the person themselves, even the person who has that lack. He has to have something for himself. What we might say is that I see it so that I help and that I admonish him, and then he's going to fix it up. Then he's going to get rid of, burn the bad within him, and hopefully grow from it. So, this doesn't make so much sense, what the Baal Shem Tov is saying. How does it work? Let's see. So we must say, the fact that you notice taka the bad in your friend, that it's in order that you should fix it. So from where can we derive that the one who's seeing the bad is as if he's looking in the mirror? That you see the bad, so to speak, reflected in your friend. So this is the question. So here we see, we come back to the story of Noach, and here we see a very powerful lesson. That's why the pasuk has to add the words, Ve'ervas avihem loiro. What is it adding when it tells us that they turned their face and they didn't see the nakedness of their father? Even though we understood it from the fact that their faces were turned. So hakavano bazel lahadgish, it's to emphasize. Asher loizu bilvad shehem loiro'u ervas avihem. Vihem b'muvan gashmi. It's not only that they didn't see, so to speak, the nakedness of their father physically, right? Because their faces were turned, so they didn't see. Ela oidyoiser, but much more. Shalai ra'u, they didn't see, and even more. V'lai hirgishu, and they didn't feel. Inyan shel erva v'chisaren etzel avihem. They didn't feel any negative feeling towards their father at all, anything lacking. Hargashasam, what did they feel? Hisrachza kula bazeh shehim tzrichim la'asais. The only thing that was working within them when they noticed it was, we have to do something. It's a very fine line, but it's a big one. What do we have to do? We have to cover him. They didn't see it as a lack in him. They rather saw it as something needs to be done to fix the situation. Now, obviously, there's a lack, because you don't fix something that's perfect. But it wasn't that emotionally they felt anything. That's the biggest key. So there was no, like, a yucky feeling, you know, like a judgmental type of a yucky kind of feeling. It was more, something's wrong, fix it. That's all that they noticed. And that's a very big thing. Yes.
They have it from the
I know, it's a big problem. That yes, let's see. Okay, so let's see. So Leah, you know, ask me in a minute, because we'll see how this is. You're right. That was. So let's see what he says. So he says like this. Okay, so he says, what was it that they have to do? L'chassos, to cover. Aval ervas avihem. But that's why it says clearly the pasuk. They didn't see the nakedness of their father. What did they? They only knew something has to be done. Their faces were turned, it's true, but that's not enough. They didn't notice, they didn't feel a negative feeling. That's why they were very different than their third brother. Chum, so he says, Heim loy ra'u. Aval b'chum ne'emar. What does it say by chum? Vayar chum. Chum saw. V'hu mitzad hashinoi b'mehusam u'madregasam. Why did chum see? You see, it's interesting. They were all there. It's very interesting. But chum saw. That's what the pasuk emphasizes. They could have also seen, but they didn't see. What didn't they see? They didn't see negative. They only after Chum was Ma'irer, but the truth is that even they would have also noticed afterwards, but only immediately to action. It would have been so quick that it would have been almost like they wouldn't even have seen anything, because it would have been just cover. That's why immediately they turned around and they Taka didn't see. That's what would have been. So they Taka. So what is Chum? What? And it's a beautiful thing. V'humitzad, as he says, because they're, in essence they're different. Chum avi Knan. We know Chum is the father of Knan. Mikevan shahara hayabai ba'at. My sins. He had the negative in himself. Ela Sheboy, who are dying bedakos. Go to the top. It's just in a very fine. At that point, it wasn't revealed yet in Chum. It was there in a very sort of, if you want to say, in a very small way. Ki Chum in Yonai Chamimus. That's very interesting. Usually we say warmth is a good thing, but here it's in a negative way. He was, if you want to say, he had that little tendency to immorality. That's what Chum means. From that word of like a hot-blooded, shebikav hasmol, he's from the left side. Lochein ra'a b'noyach es haloy toiv. That's why he saw the negative in Noyach. Shel vayesht vayishaka, right? He drank, he was drunk. As we know, he drank and he became drunk. Shegam zehu inyan shel chamimus. Drinking is also like that hot-bloodedness, you know, he gets shikker. Even though it was very small at that point, from the what he saw in his father, right? His father was outrightly drunk and undressed. But because he had it in a small way inside of him, that's why Chum saw it in Noyach. He really saw it because he could identify with it. It was a part of him. And that's where we see the contrast very strongly. They're from the right side. I'm from the middle. The etzlam hara hazem mushlalu. It's totally negated. It doesn't exist at all. It's not even there in a small way. And vidakas didakas. It's absolutely totally not there. And since they are totally clean, miraza from this negative, as einam royim oisai gam bezulos, they don't see it in their friend. Veim royim v'yoidim rak es ha'avoida hamuteles aleihem bazeh. So what do they see? Only what they have to do. And this is the measure. V'zohi ha'ira l'kol echad meitanu. So this is the lesson. Be'ei sheshayimim ha'irayim eze davar loitoi v'alish mi'yisrael. When we hear or we see, whichever way, something negative about somebody else, harei levad zoi she'osor ledaber, right, as you said, they told, that's also bad. For sure we're not allowed. We're forbidden to speak about it. Ula saper mizel acherim, to tell it, as he says, v'loi k'moish asa cham, like, not like cham did, like where he told his brothers. That's definitely forbidden. But even more than that, shalei yistak, like, we know, what did cham do? Wasn't enough b'zeshu ro esara, that he saw the bad. Ela ch'oid haidiyaz zel acherim, even told it to his friends. That's for sure bad to do. V'yagad l'shnei achiv b'chutz, he told his brothers outside. But even more than that, what we have to know, so sometimes we think, wow, we're amazing. We saw something bad, and we controlled ourselves, and we didn't tell anybody else what we saw or what we heard. That's amazing. So no, the Rebbe says, this is not amazing. Ela oidei ser, mizeh, she'ein leharer, afilu b'machshava. This is a very strong thing. We are not permitted to think about it in our minds. We're not only talking about telling it to somebody else, we're not talking about acting on it, even to contemplate and think about it. Do not allow our minds to go there. Yes, but you know what it does? It changes us. I know there are some people like that. There are some beautiful people who are so positive. But what makes them that way? Because anytime they talk, how they train themselves, so some people may be born this way, there are a few, but for most people who are not born this way, it's a training. You notice it, it's true, and it bothers you, it's true. Don't let your mind go there. Turn it away, as the Rebbe always says, Hesach Hadas. Fill it with something else. The Rebbe has a beautiful thing. He always says, we have to have replacement thoughts. We have to have accessible replacement ideas always for ourselves. And that's the best. And that's why also you see that unfortunately, a lot of times, when is it that we dwell on the negativity? When we're a little bit empty ourselves. That's why the truth is, we learn something, we read something, we inspire. If not, we're in big trouble. It's not only, there's no void. It's not going to remain empty, as we know. That's what happens. Sometimes we go through stages like that, whatever it may be. Maybe, even if not in a bad, not on purpose, we're busy with mundane things and we can't help it. So we become busy with, as we say sometimes, just mindless acts. And then our mind is free. That's not a positive thing. It's a negative, it's a scary state, because then we will tend to, and it will happen inevitably, all the negativity, and it will run through. And it's not usually about how we want to fix ourselves. It's usually about what we notice, because it's easier that way. It's more comfortable. And we do. So let's see, if we just quickly finish, because time is up again. I wanted to do the Sefer HaChinuch. We'll finish next time, but just see what the Rebbe says. Afil of machshava meharasha azulot tzorach lizbeinein malasai spesa. The only thing you can think is, how can I help it? Not what's wrong with him, but what can I do to change the situation? Tzorach lizbeinein malasai spesa eich lahichichai, whether it be to tell him off if you need to, ulesaknei, and to fix him. Uba basha gam levakish eitza, v'chol minei ishtadlus, shelo yira es harashel chaveiroi, and this is such a strong language. What we have to do is, and this for teachers or for parents or for friends that we have to, at the same time, when we do have to sometimes involve ourselves, right? Something is wrong and we have to fix it. We have to try to daven, really, that Hashem should help us, that at that time we shouldn't be immersed in the negativity. Not to allow it to become a negative experience, rather only an empowering, positive, lifting, in a sense where we're fixing experience. But that we have to daven. We have to ask a lot of help for that, as we say. So right, when we act this way, shel shem v'yafes azoichim, then we merit laftachas habracha, to the fulfillment of the bracha. Boruch Hashem elikei shem, right? Blessed is, as we know, the God of shem v'hi knan. And then unfortunately, the opposite was with knan, that he was cursed. V'gam yafta elikim liyafes, right? Hashem beautified for yafes. And not only that, v'yishkon ba'alei shame, but nevertheless, he still had to attach himself to shame. He wasn't perfect, but that's okay, but he wasn't chum. So he still dwells with shame, and that hopefully influences him in the right way. And then we become zoichim li eskelim l'toira, sha'akli l'toira hu hashalom. The only way to be a vessel for Torah is with peace. At shezoichim l'hashruas hashchina, we merit the resting of the Shechina, Shehi be'ohalei shame. Where does the Shechina rest? In the tents of shame. And we know in the building of the third Beis Hamikdash, al yidei achdus v'avas Yisrael b'karev mamish. And this is a very fascinating thing. Again, a derivative even. Fascinating how it extends. You don't oppress with words, you don't oppress financially, right? Somebody who's vulnerable. But what it leads to is the thought process. How does you come to that? Only if you realize that any time that you notice something negative in somebody else, it means you got to fix yourself up and you don't go to what's wrong with the other. What that trains you realize is that you are looking at everything as, how am I going to make a difference? How am I going to change this person for the better? It doesn't mean I'm always out to improve everybody, because that's not my cat, you know. But in this case, you see, when the ger comes, the yosem, the almana, what do we see? How can I make his life better? That's what you're going to see. Definitely you will not be oppressing them. If anything, the opposite. You'll be helping them. You'll be uplifting them. And this is an amazing, amazing gift that Hashem gives us, starting from our thoughts in our mind, as we see. That's all it starts from. Okay. Yes, Leah.